Already we've arrived at the fifth Sunday of Lent, so what is it, two-thirds of our Lenten season has passed, but the Lord still gives us two more weeks of grace in order to move our hearts towards the conversion he desires from each one of us. We began Lent 4 weeks ago with a first reading from the Old Testament from the book of Genesis, which told us of the covenant that God would make with his people after the great flood of Noah. God promised that he would never destroy the earth again by a flood. And the rainbow in the sky is a symbol or a sign to us of that promise that God has made to us. Then we heard the story of the covenant that God made with Abraham, the father of the Jewish people and our father in faith. He was willing to offer his only begotten son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And God said, because of his trust and generosity, that God would make a covenant with Abraham, that he would be the father of a great nation. And here we are, the children of Abraham, a proof that God is faithful to the covenant promises that he makes. And then we heard the story of the Ten Commandments, which was the great covenant between God and the Jewish people. And God wrote those commandments on tablets of stone. And as part of that ceremony, the Jewish people killed a cow, and Moses sprinkled the Jewish people with the blood of the sacrifice, marking them or staining them as a sign of their commitment to the covenant. And that brings us to today. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, again, from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And at this moment in the history of the Jewish people, they had arrived at a point where they were very unfaithful to God, to the covenant that God had made with them through Moses. And before God sent them as slaves once again, this time into the Babylonian captivity, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, made a promise, which is the first reading we have today. And these words are some of the most beautiful words that we find in the whole Bible. So I'd like to read those words to you again. This is what God said to them, and God says to us through the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master. But this is the new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within their hearts. Rather, it says, I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The first covenant with the Jewish people was on stone, written on stone, and it was given to them by Moses. But God says that the new covenant that he will give, the words that are used here, I will place within them. The actual Hebrew words are, I will place it in their bowels, in the depths of who they are, and I will write it on their hearts. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. Now, the reason why the church gives us this reading today on the fifth Sunday of Lent is a reminder to us that we're preparing to renew our baptismal covenant with God at Easter time. And we're supposed to use these 6 weeks of Lent leading up to Easter to let him change our hearts, to write those words deep within who we are. For the Jewish people, the heart was not the symbol of love that it is for us on Valentine's Day. The heart was a place where they made their decisions. It was the place of intelligence in the minds of the Jews. So God was telling them, and as God is telling us, that he wants us to make a decision at Easter that's deep and profound and personal. And we ask the Lord to make that true in our lives as we prepare for Easter. Our second reading today is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews was probably written to Jewish Christians, you know, all the early Christians were Jewish, who were being tempted to go back to the ways of their ancestors, to give up being Christians and just simply be Jews. And the writer was trying to prove the superiority of the covenant of Jesus with a covenant that God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai. And we know, every time we celebrate Mass, those words that Jesus spoke at the Last Supper on the night before he died, where he speaks about the covenant that God is now establishing. And we hear these words at Mass every Sunday when the priest consecrates the wine to become the blood of Christ. And this is what the priest says, quoting Jesus' words at the Last Supper. "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, not the blood of a cow, but the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. The blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So God's promise through the prophet Jeremiah in our first reading was fulfilled in Jesus' death for us on the cross. And every time we celebrate Mass, we receive the body and blood of Christ, and we are immersed into that new covenant of love, where God promises once again, this time eternally, there'll never be another new covenant, that we will be his people, and that he will be our God. What a privilege, what a joy it is to celebrate the Eucharist. Now, the Eucharist is a participation in the theology of the Church in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And St. Paul, in this reading from Hebrews, reminds us of the suffering part of that equation. This is what he says to us in the letter to the Hebrews. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, that's before his death and resurrection, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. This is probably a reference to Jesus' suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died. According to the rabbis, there were three forms of prayer, one more intense than the other. The first level of prayer was called supplications. The second level of deeper prayer, or higher prayer, was called cries. And the third and highest form of prayer was called tears. And so what Jesus is doing here, according to the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, is praying to God in a very deep and intense kind of way. And it says that because of his commitment, he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he, Jesus, became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, Jesus, when he was suffering on the cross, learned a lesson, which is the lesson of giving himself in faithful commitment to God. And through that, the letter tells us, all of us who have been baptized into the mystery of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in our baptism, also come to know obedience through the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's at the heart of being a Christian to be obedient to the Father. Jesus came to save us because of his obedience to the Father, and each one of us finds our salvation in Jesus Christ through our obedience to the Father through Jesus Christ. And so one of the questions the Church wants us to ask ourselves on this fifth Sunday of Easter is, are we willing to once again submit ourselves in obedient love to the Father, to participate in the love and self-giving of Jesus Christ? It's through that that we find salvation. So the first reading is about renewing the covenant commitment in our hearts. The second reading is submitting ourselves to it enthusiastically and obediently through Jesus Christ. Which brings us to today's gospel reading from the Gospel of St. John. This is a very beautiful reading because it gives us, in summary form, the basis of Christian morality. You know, morality is doing good things, acting correctly. And sometimes we Christians think that the morality of the church, the morality of Christians, is found in the Ten Commandments, and it certainly is. But it's not the foundation of Christian morality. The foundation of Christian morality is more found in this gospel passage. So let's look at it closely. It begins by telling us some Greeks, those who were not Jews, who had come to worship at the Passover feast. Apparently they were friendly with the Jews and came to worship with them on the feast of the Passover, came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida. Now, Philip is a Greek name, so scripture scholars suggest that perhaps the reason they came to Philip is because he spoke Greek. Somehow he had a relationship, perhaps some ancestry among the Greeks. So they came to Jesus, and they said to him, they came to Philip, and they said to him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Now, in the Gospel of St. John, anytime we hear this word "see," it doesn't refer to looking at or glancing at someone. It means to understand deeply. You know, St. John was fascinated with the difference between darkness and light. And seeing was seeing reality as it's seen by God. So when they said they came to see Jesus, what they're saying, they want to know who Jesus is, which is the process of Christian discipleship, right? That we also here desire to see Jesus. And in response to that question, Philip takes them to Andrew, the brother of St. Peter, and together they take these Greeks to Jesus. And in response to their request, Jesus explains the basis of Christian morality. This is what he says. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, when you and I hear that word glorified, we think to be raised on high, somehow to be honored. But again, in the Gospel of St. John, to be glorified is to embrace deeply in your life the will of God. What gives God glory and what gives glory to human beings is that we embrace and love the will of God. So Jesus says in response to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then he says, "Amen, amen." Again, that word means this is true, this is true. So Jesus is giving a very solemn teaching. Again, the foundation of Christian morality. "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." So Jesus uses an agricultural symbol. Are any of you farmers, or have you been farmers in your life? Nobody's raising his or her hand. Oh, there's somebody in the back. Well, you know, farmers understand that the way you grow crops is you plant seeds. And the seed has to be planted in the ground, and it has to give up what it is. It receives moisture, and it begins to grow. And then that one grain of wheat becomes a shaft of wheat and produces many other grains. But if it doesn't die, it doesn't do anything at all. And then in order to explain this symbolism in language that we might understand, Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be." and the Father will honor whoever serves me. So the basis of Christian morality, you know, which is what do Christians do, is the willingness to die to ourselves in order to live for God and to live for others. You know, to be like that grain of wheat. And unless we do that, we won't be fruitful. So looking at the Ten Commandments, it's all about dying to ourselves. The first three are about our relationship with God. He's the Lord our God, and we'll have no other gods before him. Now, to do that, we have to die to ourselves in order to be available to God. And the last seven commandments are about our relationship with others. Honor your father and mother. You'll never do that. You'll never honor your father, your mother, your wife, your husband, your children, unless you're willing to die to yourself in order to live for them. Thou shalt not kill. You know, not to be angry and to be violent. The way to destroy anger and violence from our lives is to die to ourselves in order to live for others and to live for God. All of the commandments require this self-giving, this dying to ourselves. It's the basis of Christian morality. So if we want to learn to be Christians, we have to imitate Jesus, who was obedient to the Father to the point of offering his life on the cross in love for us. Are you willing to do that? No. Are you willing to commit yourself to that kind of morality at Easter when we renew our baptismal commitments? So the Lord gives us three lessons in our Lenten readings this Sunday about renewing the covenant in our hearts, about our willingness to imitate Jesus, who was obedient to the Father. We must be obedient to the Father ourselves, and then to die to ourselves in order to be available to God and to others. May God transform our lives in these next 2 weeks so that when Easter comes, we might truly give ourselves to God.